Colin Woodall, the Vice President of Government Affairs for the National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
All right, Colin, here we are a couple days out from the election. How does that impact NCBA?
It's a huge impact, not only for NCBA, but all of agriculture, because basically we spent billions of dollars as a country, and we have the exact same results that we've had basically for the past 2 years, which is good and bad. It's bad because we had hoped for some changes in order to see some real reform on things such as tax policy and also reform the Endangered Species Act. That's not going to happen now. But it's also good because we at least know what we've dealt with the past 2 years, so we kind of have a better idea of what to expect. And that also means that the lame duck session could be a little bit better than maybe we expected to.
And well, you know what, we've heard several scenarios of how that could go depending on who won. What is your perspective?
You know, it comes down to two things, the farm bill and then the fiscal cliff. One of the reasons why the farm bill had really been slowed down is because the Republicans expected to retake control of the Senate, and they'd hoped for deeper cuts. Since that's not going to happen, then there's no reason not to finish the farm bill right now. Let's get it done, provide some certainty to agriculture. Let's not cloud a new Congress. Let's get it done. I think we can probably see that. We're optimistic that we'll be able to see that done. Our big concern is on the death tax. If something is not done, then the death tax exemption amount goes down to $1 million. Anything over that in your estate is going to be taxed at 55%. It does not take a very big operation to have assets in excess of $1 million. This is huge for us.
Why did this become an issue? What is going on? What's the undercurrent? Because to me, it's a no-brainer.
We think it's a no-brainer, too, but unfortunately, we have so many in Congress that think that the death tax is just a tax cut for the rich if we get rid of it or change it. They don't understand that this has real-world implications on all the producers in this country that make our food and fiber. Trying to get that message across has been very difficult for all of us, but we're hoping that we can at least get an extension of what we have right now, which is a cut or an exemption amount of $5 million per person, $10 million per couple, and the tax rate on anything over that has been reduced down to 35%. So if we can get a 2 to 4 year extension of that, while it's not perfect, it will provide a pretty good bit of protection for producers.
Because otherwise, we're looking at liquidation.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. There's no way that you can have a 55% tax on all of your assets and be able to stay in business. There's no way. Not with land values the way they are right now, not with all the other pressures on our industry, such as the ongoing drought, lowest cattle herd numbers in, you know, 50, 60 years. That all has an impact. And the last thing that we need is the loss of more producers. We can't afford that.
You mentioned the drought and, of course, the impact on corn prices. And your position on the renewable fuel standard remains the same.
That is correct. We are one of several groups that had filed comments with EPA asking that the renewable fuel standard be waived because of the drought situation, the availability of corn, and the price of corn. You know, they're currently looking at those comments, and now that the election is over, we could potentially see a decision on that at any time. When you look at the number of studies that are out there, they're all over the place. Some say it would make a difference. Some say it wouldn't. Some say that really it's just status quo. I think that and the fact that both sides have very strong positions means that it's probably going to be pretty easy for EPA just to tell us no, because that's the way it's been. It's status quo, much like the election, status quo. So I think we'll see the decision on it, though, very soon.
Okay, and you mentioned, you know, the lowest herd in decades. Is that a concern for the industry overall?
Huge concern for us because we still have great demand not only here but also abroad. We worked really hard to get 3 free trade agreements done in the last Congress. So we've got a lot of beef that we've promised people. We've got to be able to produce it. And it's getting harder and harder to produce as we have fewer and fewer people out there. And those that are left are in a serious drought situation. You know, 70% of this nation's cattle country is in drought right now.
Well, there have been a lot of culling of the herds. What about those trade agreements? Have you seen, how are those working out so far? Is it too soon to tell?
It is too soon to tell. But what we have seen in the South Korean agreement, which has been in effect the longest, is that we are seeing upticks in the amount of meat that we're shipping over to South Korea. So I think probably in the next couple of months we'll be able to have a full accounting of what that means. But, you know, we've always said one of the things we have to do to grow our industry and try to get over this liquidation situation is to have more markets. And really, the United States is a mature market. We're not going to find some new group in the population that's going to start eating beef. But we can find new countries that will start eating U.S. beef, and that's really the key. Then it just goes back. We just got to make sure we have enough beef to supply them.
Anything else, Colin?
You know, at the end of the day, I think the next 2 years are going to be more about the regulatory issues and not so much the legislative issues. So we're going to have to watch EPA very closely on things such as dust and clean air and then also water issues.
Well, it seems that the ag community has been able to get through to a certain degree about some of those issues.
We have. I think in the case of ag dust, we've been able to get EPA to back down a little bit. We expect the final rule on that probably here in the next couple of weeks. We hope that they maintain their position to leave us out. Water, though, it's been another situation because what they're proposing would change the way waters in the United States are defined and could give access to every water body in this country to the EPA if they move forward with their Clean Water Act guidance.
And what, when are we going to see something on that?
We could possibly see that here in the next couple of weeks as well.
Thanks, Colin.
Thank you.